Good evening. Welcome to the Salyer Report. Today is March 3rd, 2016. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening for Money and Markets. Our theme tonight is Their Surprise is Surprising. The situation is not funny. I don't mean to imply that, but there is occasional amusement in watching the chickens come home to roost. Let's talk about every time we turn around, the establishment is getting surprised. The central bank is surprised by the weakness in the U.S. economy. I can't imagine why. The administration is surprised by the impact of Obamacare on discretionary spending. Can't imagine why. The insurance companies are surprised by financial losses on Obamacare. Can't imagine why. Political leadership is surprised by the power of entrainment technology combined with the anger of the American people in the U.S. election. Didn't they watch what happened to Arab Spring? The neocons are surprised by the lawlessness of Trump. It's pretty funny to watch the neocons complaining about someone who's out of control and lawless. It's like, well, what did you think was going to happen? Even as delicious, the African-American progressives are squirming, worried that their gravy train may be over. I put up a commentary this week called Trump and the African-American Elite Gravy Train, the party's over. And noted Black Van Jones on CNN was literally had a hissy fit about Trump, and I put the quote in the commentary. Van Jones is the guy who backpedaled on his 9/11 petition signature, and he's exactly the kind of progressive who's ridden the gravy train of providing a front for all of the fascism going down on the progressive side. And I couldn't, you know, seeing Van Jones squirm about the fact that the gravy train may be over, because essentially what you have is you have a parasitic class. It's on all sides of the aisle, all sides of the establishment, and they've been, a great deal of money has been put out to put a pretty face on many different things. And now with the debt growth model over, we're going back to fundamentals, and the pain and the discipline is going to be ugly. I put up a great quote that I love this week. We must all suffer one of two things, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret or disappointment. And it's really keep it uppermost in my mind because it inspires me to continuously embrace the pain of discipline. But needless to say, the country is in the throes of regret and disappointment. Money and markets. Let's take a look at how the markets did. We got more improvement this week. The S&P is now down 2.5% for the year. Gold still doing well, up 19% for the year. Silver's backed off a little bit. It's up 10% for the year. Oil's improved a little bit, which is helping the market. It's down 20% based on the accumulation of all the fall in 14 and 15. This is pretty significant. The DAX in euros now down a little bit under 10% at 9.2%. China's improved a lot. The large caps down 9%. Developed down 4.7%. The emerging markets flat. Wow. So the emerging markets are outperforming everybody. the aggregate bond ETF is now up 1.84%. The long treasury backing down, it's now up 7.75%. That's down about 3%. And the commodities index now down 6% for the year. That's a big improvement. So we've seen commodities improve. The dollar had flown up to over 98 and back down today. It closed at 97.60. So it's down a little bit more than 1% for the year. As I said last, the last money in markets, I am reducing risk in my portfolios across all the things I'm doing. One is I'm increasing the amount of equities and hedged equities. I prefer equities to bonds at this point. I just think the long-term bull market in bonds is over, and we're in for a rocky ride. But we are in for a long-term bull in equities. But again, tremendous variability, and the danger is of big downs or sort of unraveling of the governance, which is part of what we're seeing now. So in addition to head equities, I do have some in fixed income, but I'm focused on very high quality and shorter duration and just simply reducing the long equities that I'm willing to hold because I think the variability of what could happen is dramatic. I don't want to be out of the equity markets because I think the variability is there on the upside as well. So it's just a time to stay very balanced and be very, very careful about all the things you're in and the quality of your custodians, as I've said many times before. We're getting a tremendous amount of questions about cash as a result of the increased shifting into negative interest rates. We're now up to over $9 trillion of sovereign paper at negative interest rates globally. And one of the things I did was ask Dan Perkins, the president of Hidden Safes, which is a great safe company in Memphis, to join us the week after next on how to buy and install a safe. What you see is any country where the market goes to negative interest rates, the sales of safes take off because it's cheaper to keep the cash in your own safe than to put it in the bank or to put it in sovereign debt. So I thought that would be really useful as I'm getting more questions on how to buy and install a safe. So and our first quarter wrap-up is going to be a review of cash options, and those two will dovetail. The G20 meeting in Beijing, great quote from the German finance minister about the debt finance growth model has reached its limits. Another way of saying the party's over, and that's profound change for everyone. Now, it doesn't mean to say that we won't see more QE. We're certainly getting messages from the European Central Bank that they intend to do whatever it takes to keep to their inflation target rates. But the reality is, you know, essentially, there's not a whole lot more room to grow debt. And that creates great concern overhanging the market and the inability of the leadership in both Europe and here to adjust. Big question in Europe is the British referendum in June, so-called the Brexit. Will Britain stay in the EU, and what will that do to the EU and the euro if they decide to go? Adding to that are the immigration pressures. If you look at the current flows, just for the first 2 months of the year, it looks like it's going to be higher than last year. We'll see what the summer brings, but very significant pressure, including on German Chancellor Merkel. The Chinese have announced major layoffs, 5 to 6 million people in the state-sponsored enterprises. That's very significant, and I suspect there's more to come. You're really seeing the acceleration of the global 2.0 to 3.0 in retail in the last 3 years of wrap-ups. We've talked a lot about the shift to mobile and global 2.0 to 3.0 and what it's doing to retail. Some retail is adjusting very nicely. Some retail is just not making it. So Starbucks is doing a great job. Sears is falling on their face. I did a little spot on Coast to Coast last night on the Sports Authority bankruptcy and took a look at the number of stores of major big box stores and franchisers around the country that are shutting. It's very, very significant. If you haven't been successful at mobile and online strategy, you're in real trouble. And expect to see enormous consolidation, a lot of empty retail where you are. Talking about shrinking, it's amazing. Another stock disappeared off my approved list today. That was the luggage maker Tumi. We're seeing more and more mergers. It's been accelerating over the last 3 years. So between mergers and purchases of stocks, and now the IPO market has dried up. We're really seeing a big shrink in the float in the U.S. markets, and very uncomfortable. Now, the float is definitely growing around the world. So it's another trend that, if it keeps going, is going to push people more towards the emerging markets. And as I said, the emerging markets are doing the best this year, although the frontier markets had a gangbuster February. The former CEO of Chesapeake was indicted last week, indicted at the beginning of this week, and then literally the next day killed in a car crash. And of course, the immediate question was, it suicide, accident, or murder? No way to tell. Chesapeake, it's interesting, was a stock that I had rejected and always kept off my approved list just because of the quality of the governance. So I always found it to be a highly suspicious bunch. But the question really is, It brings up this whole self-driving car again because I, for one, am very concerned about the safety and the hackability of cars. And that was a reminder again this week because one of our stories up on the website was that Google's self-driving cars crashed into a bus in California last month. Anyway, it's literally, I know some executives who have 20, 30-year-old cars because they're literally, you know, they're concerned about the digital technology. Speaking of more concern about the digital technology, the Apple encryption battle goes on. And as you watch more and more use of that kind of data flow used to manipulate the economy, as well as the use of entrainment, particularly in the campaigns, you really wonder if somebody's not trying to get a hold of the Apple network in time to push the entrainment deeper on the U.S. campaign. So let's turn to the U.S. campaign because it's completely dominated the corporate media, and not only in this country but globally. And there's the lead cover on The Economist is a picture of Donald Trump in an Uncle Sam suit, and it says underneath it, "Really?" question mark. And the lead article in The Economist is "Time to fire Donald Trump." There's enormous fear, both I think in the city of London and many different places, that Trump might end up as the president. Now, it's interesting. My read on the presidential election is basically what we're watching is a Kingsman movie. I encouraged you to watch the Kingsman. It's a horrible movie with Samuel Jackson, Colin Firth, and Michael Caine, some of my favorite actors, about the use of entrainment technology and subliminal programming to depopulate the world. And I know I focus on this a lot because I worry that people don't understand that exists. But if you look at the campaign so far, I really think of it as the equivalent of a reality TV show, very much manipulated and controlled by entrainment, trying to interest different slices of the population in different candidates. And if you see the leaders, whether it's Trump or Clinton, I see them very much creatures of the entrainment subliminal programming. And now to do that, you need you need the telco companies, you need the media companies, you need the intelligence agencies. So this is essentially a machine, and it's on both sides. And of course, the question between now and the election is, you know, who is the entrainment engineering for, and who is it engineering against? We saw right before Super Tuesday, Chris Christie come out and back Donald Trump, and then proceed to look so appalled and scared at the press conference standing behind Trump that literally a thing got going on Twitter called Free Christie. It was pretty funny, and somebody called me and said, how could that possibly happen? Christie's over a barrel. The Department of Justice really has him over a barrel and can indict. And I'm assuming the Department of Justice said, do this or we'll indict you. And, and Christie, whether it was the investigation or whatever his control files, or maybe they just said, we'll shoot your family. Who knows? But Christie did not look like a man who was there of his own free will. And on his different explanations of why he'd come out and endorse Trump, he didn't really make too much sense. Now, it's interesting. You're also seeing enormous support among the African-American population for Clinton, despite the fact that it was the Clinton team that engineered a million-plus black people in prison. And, and if you look at sort of the criminal records there, it's really hard to fathom that people would essentially be voting for someone who has done them so much damage and harm. They engineered the housing bubble. It's quite astonishing to watch. One of the big questions is we see the State Department employee help build Clinton's private email server given immunity by the Department of Justice. Now, is that a real step to seriously investigate Clinton, who's clearly indictable, I think, based on the evidence, or is it just somebody trying to get enough leverage so they can squeeze Clinton for promises of different posts or different actions once she becomes president? There's no way to tell. We're going to have to see how things play out. The Republicans are working hard to try and create the conditions for a brokered convention, terrified that Trump might be the candidate. Trump would make an absolutely dreadful president, but at the same time, one of the things he is doing with the campaign is sort of cracking and breaking walls in the secrecy, and it's interesting to see the Republican establishment and the Washington establishment try and deal with it. First of all, he's asking the right question, how do we make America great? Then he's saying it's not okay to leave, you know, a large number of Americans outside. You know, if the elites basically take all the resources for themselves and throw everybody else overboard, it's not okay to do. And he's saying that loud and clear, and that's a message that needs to be said. He's questioning the money wasted in Iraq. He's questioning the classification of the 9/11 Commission report. He's questioning the relationship between vaccines and autism. He's saying Common Core should be thrown out. So he's tearing down a lot of walls that need to be torn down. And between asking the right questions and his irreverency towards the establishment, you know, there's no doubt that he's playing a role. And the interview this week, Farrell and I talk about the importance of sort of reducing the secrecy, because the secrecy is creating massive privilege. And whether we see the establishment be surprised by what's happening in the world or surprised by the response to Trump, it's an example of people who've been enjoying enormous privileges, doing tremendous damage to many other people, really being indifferent to that damage. And now the blowback is coming. And I think, frankly, that's very healthy. It's clear the establishment has no intention of changing. However, we saw the DARC Act head to the Senate. It's working its way through Congress. It would block mandatory GMO labeling by the states. What right the federal government thinks it has to block a state's right to regulate labeling of food in and sort of consumer transparency within a state? Completely absurd. The Tennessee primary was part of Super Tuesday. I voted for Kasich, who did not do well. My read of the polls across the board is if you look at the Republican who can do the best in the general election, particularly against Clinton, it's Kasich, but no one seems to be talking about that. Nevertheless, Kasich thinks if he can win Ohio, he can make it to a brokered convention. So, again, I think, you know, a lot of it depends on what entrainment does what between now. So the question is, in the movie The Kingsman, Samuel Jackson is the man with his hands on the lever that flips the entrainment this way and that. And so I think the big question in the election is, who is Samuel Jackson and what is he planning on doing next? To a certain extent, he's making up as he goes and trying to make sure that everybody is involved in the process and distracted from the campaign, from the real things going on behind the scenes and the money. Ask Catherine. You guys are sending in great links. I want to thank you. We posted many of them on the website, but keep sending those. First question. Hi, Catherine. I keep hearing that there's going to be a global currency reset, a reevaluation of currencies based on real assets such as gold and silver. Have you any knowledge of this? Supposedly be bad for the U.S. I've been hearing about that for decades. So you keep hearing more and more about those things. And frankly, this could go a lot of different ways. The dollar in market share is on a long-term trajectory down, but in the short run, the dollar could be strong. I think we can see it go anywhere between 92 and 106 this year. If it breaks down beneath 92, then the sort of the rise of the dollar may back off. But so far, I think the chances are much greater that it heads to the upside because of the global debt problems denominated in dollars. And again, we can just print dollars. Hi, Catherine. I've heard that geoengineering, controlling of our weather via ionization of our atmosphere, and the use of HAARP as a weapon is destroying our planet and poisoning all life. That, as the environment collapses, so will our economy. What are your thoughts on this? For further, check out geoengineeringwatch.org and view attachments. We've had Clifford Carnicom on the Salier Report several times talking about the engineer. We've had Nick Begich talking about HAARP. Clearly, it appears that these kinds of things are being used as a weapon, but that's conjecture. It's having very harsh impact on the environment and all of our health. So I think this is a very important phenomena and very dangerous, but I struggle to explain it. And I think the discussions with Clifford, I would really encourage you to go back and look at the recent one. And then we had a big special several years ago that we referenced in our recent discussion with Clifford. I think that's one of the best sources. You're referring to Dana Wigginton's site, former engineer at Bechtel, also a very good source, very focused on the global spraying and what it's doing to our world. So I agree, very important phenomena. But I think as of yet, I still don't understand all the possible reasons for it happening. And my experience is it's happening all over the world. Hi, Catherine. We ran across this article about a recent Obama executive order. Wondering what your thoughts are on this move, which seems to make 1.8 million acres not even accessible for hiking. And they refer to a link we put up on the website. President Obama set aside by executive order the Mojave National Monument, was 1.6 million acres, Sand to Snow National Monument, 154 acres, and Castle Mountains National Monument. Clearly, this is part of the discussion on Agenda 21. There is a real move to get people moving into the cities out of the rural areas and then to basically make a great deal of the federal lands and sort of pristine natural wilderness off limits to people or restricted limits to people. So I think that's a very important thing to understand. And yes, it's my guess is it probably, if you adjudicated it, it is illegal. Dear Catherine, I've been a subscriber for a couple months now, and I'm going to get a six-month subscription soon. My son and I have listened to a number of your seminars and read your articles. Thanks for doing what you do. There's one thing I'm trying to get my head around when I listen to the narco dollars or other audio seminar discussions that you have. I haven't yet heard you describe and need it laid out for my edification. I see the empty fast food joints in the U.S. and have always wondered how they survive, so thanks for closing that loop in my mind. Question I have is, let's say there are a few kids selling drugs in an area, and say there is a Subway and a Hardee near this area. I always assumed that if a kid was selling drugs, there was another slightly older guy supplying the seller who was receiving the product from yet another person or was himself hooked into the manufacturer grower. At what point does the fast food joint hook into that network I just described? The challenge of answering that wonderful question is there are so many different recipes. I always say it's like the joy of cooking. And when you come to money laundering, there are as many recipes as there are in the joy of cooking. What I would recommend is you get a book called Black Money by Michael Thomas. And it describes sort of a very common fact pattern. And I think it will help you understand sort of how the process works. Again, Black Money by Michael Thomas. If you haven't read the RJR Nabisco lawsuit filed against RJR by the European Union, I would also strongly recommend you take a look at that. It is in the Resource Center. You can access it through the footnotes in the Dylan Reed and Aristocracy book online at dunwalkie.com. If you go to the Resource Center and go to organizations and then go to RJR Nabisco, you can find several links that will take you to read that lawsuit. It's very instructive. Okay, also interesting to know, to now go back and watch Breaking Bad since you've enlightened me. Yes, yes. Lastly, can we buy the Solari coins, and does that price move with the silver price? I don't see anywhere to do that. We don't sell the Solari coins, but as long as you're willing to buy in a bulk of 50 or more, we are happy to authorize the mint that makes them to allow you to use the stamp to make coins, and you can purchase coins direct from them. And of course, yes, their price will move with the silver spot price. So if you're interested in doing that, just call customer service and we'll arrange that for you. Next question, have you seen the tube on Thormium and the Elf? The answer is no, but I will endeavor to watch it. Thank you for sending that. Next question. In your opinion, in order for someone to make it all the way to become either the Republican or the Democratic nominee for president, must they have the support of the powers that be for that to happen? Yes. You know, basically, you have to have the support of the guy who controls you know, Samuel Jackson, among many other. And, you know, I must say, watching this whole thing, I really thought that Trump was going to be used to white out all the other Republicans so that Bush could win. And the fact that the Bushies didn't have it engineered to basically have the Samuel Jackson team on their team is very surprising to me. I wonder if part of that is not because George H.W. at this point is kind of out of it. But it is the Bushies' sort of inability to get on top of the machine here was a little bit surprising to watch. But it looks to me like Trump is probably going to be used to white out any opposition to Clinton and make Clinton look presidential. Let me tell you, it takes quite a lot of entrainment to make Clinton look presidential. Okay, next question. Dear Catherine, you had mentioned that the health insurance companies have not been doing great financially under Obamacare. Does this have to do with them now having to cover people with pre-existing conditions? The only thing I know is what the companies say publicly about what their problems are and whether that makes sense or is true or not, I don't know. One of the things they talk about is people gaming the system, so only signing up when they know they need healthcare services, and then as soon as they finish getting the services, unsigning up. So kind of playing the system is one of them, or people needing far more services because of chronic diseases, which could fall under the pre-existing conditions. If you look at all the different reasons they give, it's why it would have made so much more sense to just say, okay, everybody's now eligible for Medicare. Medicare is a system that's been worked out over many decades. Not that I love it, but it would have been a much better way to go. The problem, of course, is the insurance companies wouldn't have gotten anywhere near the flow. Let's go to the movies. I thought I would be, because of the controversy around Scalia's death, I thought it would be good to bring back an old Denzel Washington, Julia Roberts movie, The Pelican Brief, about the assassination of two Supreme Court justices arranged by powerful financial interests to have them assassinated by a professional assassin. It's interesting, the talk about Scalia being murdered will not go away. An interesting dialogue on the Savage Nation between Michael Savage and Donald Trump. Savage asking Trump, was he murdered? And Trump saying, well, it's a horrible topic, but they say he found a pillow in his face, which is a pretty unusual place to find a pillow. It's Trump kind of intimating, okay, something stinks here. As I said the last time I talked to this with you, the Washington Post article was the first dead giveaway. I mean, it just basically read like an unanswered questions of a group of people who said this stinks. The thing that blew my mind was Larry Wilmore on Comedy Central. Let me just read you what he said. He said, sorry, everyone, I don't want to give Trump any more oxygen. That's not a euphemism, by the way. I mean it literally. Somebody get me the pillow they used to kill Scalia, and I'll do it. I'll do it. And then he demonstrates on the show with a sort of a fake pillow that he's, you know, pushing down. And then Wilmore says, I could get in trouble for actually saying that. But here you have Wilmore just speaking matter-of-factly that Scalia was killed with a pillow. We've started to see stories around the internet implying sort of all sorts of stuff about what a bad guy Scalia was, what the secret society at the resort he was staying is was involved in, and all sorts of stuff to paint him as a big picture, you know, a bad guy with a very big control file. Now, who knows what the truth is? But I think the whole situation in and around what's happening in Washington, this only adds to the sense of out of control corruption, and it's certainly the feel you get when you watch The Pelican Brief and you realize, oh, this was very prescient. Our interview this week is a very long one, but a very good one with Dr. Farrell. I asked him to come back ahead of his sort of response to the quarterly report. And one of the most depressing things about watching the presidential campaign is the inability of the candidates and the body politic and Samuel Jackson to engage in a serious discussion about the most important issues. And so I asked Joseph to join me, and we went through, what are the changes that need to happen in our cultural and economic models? What are the big legal and economic issues? How do we deal with them? What are the real risk issues, and what actions can we take? We could have talked for much longer than we did, but it was plenty. One of the things that we focus on is the covenant that created America, not the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, but literally the cultural and moral covenant that happened with them, whereby we all believed together in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and the fact that life was sacred, and we had an obligation to protect the life, liberty, and happiness of not just our family and ourselves, but of our neighbors and the body politic, and the importance of reaffirming that. A great deal is being done in this campaign and generally to divide and conquer us, turn us against each other, and break down and destroy that covenant. Do it in the face of the world. Part of the problem with this campaign is it's sending a message. Americans are not competent to have a democracy. They're making a fool of it. So it's so important to reaffirm that covenant. Joseph and I spend a fair amount of time on it. And if you look at the little video we created to highlight the interview, I snip out a one-minute piece that Joseph did that's remarkable. If you don't have time to watch the interview, definitely watch that video. It's a fantastic 1 minute. The other thing we talk a lot about and come back to again and again is the extent to which the secrecy coming out of the black budget and the hidden system of finance has created enormous amounts of privilege. And part of what we're watching with the establishment being surprised again and again is these are people who've been made stupid by their privilege. You know, you have a lot of smart people in that system. You have a lot of good people in that system, but they have become prisoners of their privilege. And that's why it's so important that we bring, we just bring transparency to the areas of secrecy and bring that transparency down. And that's one of the things that Joseph and I talk about, in the action. So if you want a really deep perspective on what's going on in America, what we can do about it, definitely listen to that interview. I did a great interview with Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney last year about what her top 10 issues would be in the campaign. If you listen to this and that, you get a great beat on what's going on in America as it relates to the both the campaign and the governance issues. You may not get it listening to the campaign itself. Okay, so that's it. In closing, we've got a great lineup next week. John Rappaport and I are talking about how do you achieve health freedom? How do you achieve education freedom? How do you achieve financial freedom? I wanted to talk about that with John now because I am very concerned. If you look at some of the contenders for the presidency, for example, if Hillary Clinton wins and becomes president, we're going to be under real pressure on health freedoms, education freedoms. So real pressures on vaccines, real pressures on Common Core, on and on and on. I mean, depending on how the election comes out, you could literally see Bill Gates and Warren Buffett running the entire country and getting their entire agenda. It wouldn't be a pretty picture. So I want to talk about how we ensure those freedoms now. And then on, as I said before, March 17th, how to buy and install a safe. Something very important. I have two safes and have spent a lot of time in the last 10 years figuring out what kind of safes I need and how to buy and install them. My life is much better for having them. And if you haven't done it, if you look at what's coming up over the next couple of years, it's something you might want to consider, particularly if we go to negative interest rates. So great one, how to buy and install a safe with Dan Perkins. And as I said, our first quarter wrap-up is going to be options for stashing your cash. In 2016, I get a lot of questions about cash management, so I want to make sure we go through that carefully and in detail. So until March the 10th with John Rappaport, ladies and gentlemen, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Good night and good luck.